I remember many, many years ago when I was at Southwest School of Bible Studies, then preacher there, Brother Bill Jackson, believed that there were a number of subjects, and I can't remember exactly how many he had, I think 20 or 24, something like that, that he believed ought to be taught on every year. In other words, you should not miss. It didn't mean he was preaching that the exact same sermon by any stretch of imagination, but at least some of the content and some of the points were so important that he believed they needed to be taught on a regular basis. One of those that I think is really, really important, as we've talked about before, is our hope in the Lord. One of the things that, about that hope that we have, that hope of eternal salvation, is that as Christians we are promised a crown. And I think it's one of those things that ought to excite us. We ought to be thrilled about that. It ought to be something that we look forward to. The Bible promises eternal life. The Bible promises eternal salvation to all who will obey the Father and then submit themselves to Christ. We see that in Matthew 7:21 and Hebrews 5:9. And a certain expectation, I think, of the Christian comes with that promise. This is not some sort of an imaginary or self-willed expectation. In other words, not something that we just kind of dreamed up in our heads. But rather, it is a God-based promise to His children. We talked about a little bit this morning that God's promises are sure, they're guaranteed, just for lack of a better way to put it. Our hope is based upon what God has said. And since we know from Titus 1 and verse 2 that God cannot lie, in fact, Hebrews 6 verse 18, it is impossible for God to lie. When He makes us a promise, we know that it's going to be kept. It's sure. Brethren, we are told, because we are Christians, that we are part of what is known as a royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, there are two aspects of that that we could talk about, the royal part and the priesthood part. Now, tonight we really want to kind of talk about the royalty aspect. That means today, folks, we are a royal priesthood. That means now. It means in the here and now. It doesn't mean something that we're looking forward to. We are, as Peter would put it, a royal priesthood. It was not looking down the line saying, well, one of these days you're going to be, or in heaven you're going to be. Peter says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. And that means that because we are the Lord's church, we are royalty. How is this true? Well, stop and think about it for a moment. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, 19, verse 16, other places, we learn that Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is our elder brother also, isn't He? In fact, so much so that it says in Hebrews 2:11, He is not ashamed to be to call us brethren. Now, if He is King of Kings, then we are His brethren, then naturally it follows that since He is royalty, He also bestows that upon us, the same status. It's kind of like the Father and Christ the Son, and since Christ is an heir of God and we are heirs with Christ, then we become heirs of God as well. Same principle. Folks, we are promised a victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. We are promised a new spiritual body that is like unto Christ to replace this mortal body, this body that wears out, this body that is corruptible, this body that in time will decay and go away. We learn from Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, Paul would say, therefore our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also wait for the Lord, our Savior, who, listen, will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. We are going to have a body like unto Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, John said, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like Him. In other words, we don't know what that spiritual body is going to be like. I don't think our limited capacity to understand things, that's one of those areas that we probably could never really fully grasp until we had it. But the marvelous thing is, John could say, we don't know what it's going to be like, but we know that we shall be like Christ. It shall be like His. Folks, we are promised a home of the soul where death no longer has dominion. We see that in Revelation chapter 21. But God has also promised a crown to the child of God. And therefore, in a sense, we are promised that royalty. And not just here, but it will carry throughout eternity. Now, having said that, let's look at some of the aspects of this crown that we need to think about. First of all, this crown, naturally, is for those who are faithful. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, one of those verses that we probably, at least, maybe don't know the entire, but we know part of it. We know the last part of that verse, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. But let's go back to the whole passage, or the whole verse. Do not fear any of those things which are about you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Not literally. We're not going to literally be thrown into a dungeon somewhere. It is the prison that Satan allows us to go into and coerces us into to be followers of his. Now listen, that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Now not literally 10 full days, not literally just, it's a figure of speech. But notice here, again, be faithful. In other words, the trials and tests are going to come your way. Satan is not going to let go of you. Satan's not going to just give up on us. He says here, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you that crown of life. So it's a crown of life. Folks, our physical life is transformed in death. And then that death is transformed into eternal life. Isn't that interesting? That the physical body, when we die, is transformed into death, but then guess what? It goes into eternal life. And we're promised a crown. Be faithful. It is also defined for us as a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 8. Paul there said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, or finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, he says, but to all those who love his appearing. Folks, here Paul makes no uncertain sounds here to Timothy. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's God's promise that it awaits the faithful child of God. It awaits us. Notice also that this is a crown of endurance. James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Defined here as a crown of life, but notice it requires us to endure the trials and the tests and temptations that come our way. But notice he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We've already learned that this crown of life is a crown of righteousness that requires us to endure. So it's a crown of endurance. But go beyond that, this is a crown of victory in Christ. We've already alluded back to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58, but notice what verse 57 says here. But thanks be to God who gives us our victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, only those who are victorious in Christ will ever receive that promised crown. Number two, this promised crown has unique characteristics about it. We live in a world where everything will go away in time. Everything will decay. Everything will die. Everything at some point in time has a life cycle, so to speak. And therefore, we think about these things as being those things which are corruptible. We've talked about this before. No matter how good care you take of something, eventually time will just take its toll on it. Cannot help but do that. But the marvelous thing about this crown that God offers us and promises us is it is incorruptible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 25, Paul wrote these words, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." Now listen, "Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an incorruptible crown." Now what's important for us to understand here is he's making a parallel to something that they would have fully understood. The concept that we understand today of the Olympics had already been established in Greece before the Roman Empire. And they were being continued on. That was one of the things that continued on even into the Roman Empire. The concept of these games, these games. And that they would involve themselves in. They would have races. They would have long distance runs. In fact, that's where the concept of the marathon came from. And what Paul's point is very simple. You look around today and you see people who run these races. You see these people who compete for things in these games. But what do? They do it for something temporary. It was usually a crown, as it were, that was woven together with live branches that they received when they got there. The ones who won it received this crown. But everybody knows that they couldn't stay for very long. They understood that these leaves began to wither and become brown, and it wasn't the same crown. And that's what his point was here. Now, they do it for a crown that is perishable. It only lasts for a little while. The beautiful thing about the crown that God promises the Christian, we for an incorruptible crown. It doesn't go away. Our crown does not disappear. Our crown doesn't begin to fall apart, because that's the crown that we're going to have throughout eternity. It is also defined for us as a crown of joy. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 through 20. Paul would ask the question, what is our hope or joy, or listen, crown of rejoicing? It's a crown of joy. And he says here, is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. In other words, we have this crown of joy because we see others who we have impacted, is what I was looking for. We have positively impacted and have helped on their way to become a Christian or maintain their Christianity. And Paul even says, is it not even you? In other words, those who have made it to that finish line too. You are our glory. You are our joy. Notice also, very closely connected to the idea of an incorruptible crown, one of the characteristic traits is this crown doesn't fade away. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. When the chief shepherd, that is Christ, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that will not fade away. It's not like the things that we see in the world today. It's not like things that you can look at and one day is beautiful and it's shiny, the next day it's tarnished and it's ugly and it won't fade away. It doesn't just go away. But think about this, number three. This promised crown can be lost. We can lose it. And I think this is one of those things that we need to stop and think about. We can lose this crown a number of ways. Let's just talk about those real quick before we get into some other points here. We can lose this crown when we cease to be what God would have us to be. And folks, what that basically means is that we turn our back on God. That means that we no longer are following His will. We can allow the pleasures of this world to pull us away from God. But it doesn't have to be that. Folks, we can lose that crown. It can be lost when we leave the plain, pure teachings that we have in the pages of the New Testament. When we cease to be Christians as the Bible defines what a Christian is. When we allow somebody who is teaching error to draw us away, to pull us away, we can lose that crown. There are so many ways that if we got into real specifics that we could probably think about that could pull us away. Lose that crown because we've decided to turn to the world and begin a life of using illicit drugs. Maybe not even illicit drugs. People who get caught up in alcohol, it begins to rule their life. We could go on and on and on. We could take this list forever. But folks, we need to realize there are things that can pull us away from Christ. And we can lose that crown. Remember 1 Corinthians 9:24 that we talked about just a moment ago? Listen to what it says. We are to run so that we might, quote, obtain the prize. What prize? The incorruptible or imperishable crown that Paul talked about there in 1 Corinthians 9. Jesus told the church at Philadelphia, "Behold, I come quickly, hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown." Revelation 3 and verse 11. And again, let's emphasize, we're not talking about a literal physical crown on our head. This is not going to be gold with jewels in it and all this kind of stuff. It's a spiritual crown that's being talked about here. But it can be lost. Jesus says, make sure that you hold fast to what you have. In other words, your faith. Hold on to your salvation that you have obtained. That nobody comes along and takes that crown from you. Again, allowing ourselves to be drawn away by the world. Matthew 10 verse 22 tells us, "He who endures the end shall be saved." He's talking about perseverance here. He's talking about holding on no matter what. Folks, God will punish us with an everlasting punishment if we defile His temple. And with that punishment will come a loss of our crown. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Think about Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Folks, those people have lost their crown. Those in context here, of course, he's talking about trying to be justified by the Mosaic law. That's what they were going back into Judaism. You're trying to be justified by the law. In other words, trying to keep the law perfectly and flawlessly, and you can't do it. And because of that, Paul could accurately write to them, "You have fallen from grace." Friends, we can lose that precious crown. We can do it by following the commandments of men and not of God. And folks, that's so easy to do because there are so many false teachers out there. And let me suggest to you that many of the false teachers are so subtle in what they teach. A false teacher will never take a red flag and wave it at you and say, hey, guess what? I'm about to give you some error. You need to pay attention here. I'm going to tell you a lie here. One that I want you to follow. They won't do that. They're subtle. They're deceitful. We can lose that precious soul by following the commandments of men, Matthew chapter 15, 7 through 9. And by being ensnared in vain deceit. That is to say, what the world has to offer. The philosophies in life that man says to follow, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Folks, we can have that precious crown. It's up to us. And to me, we started out with this whole idea, this is one of those things that we need to be reminded of, I think, at least on a fairly regular basis. Maybe not every year, but at least on a fairly regular basis. We, of all people, have that hope of eternal life. We have that promise of a crown. Why? Because we are God's royal priesthood. We are our brother Christ's under brother, so to speak, or younger brother in Christ. And since He is royalty, we enjoy it too. Folks, by holding fast the form of sound doctrine, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, or 13 rather, which means basically this, don't add to, don't take away from God's Word. If we hold fast the form of sound doctrine, guess what? That precious crown awaits us. We can have that precious crown by preaching the sound words of our Lord and His apostles, Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. We can have that precious crown by being steadfast, unmovable, always abandoning the work of the Lord. Why? Because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We stop and think about this for just a moment. I'm going to suggest to you that there is not one single solitary person here that would raise their hand in affirmation that we want to lose our crown. Nobody does. There's nobody here who would raise their hand and say, yeah, I think I'm just ready to give up on that. My hope, I'm not worried about it. I don't care about no crown with my Lord. We would all say, yeah, I want that crown. But it takes diligence. It takes our part to make sure that we are holding fast, hanging in there, and that we, like the Apostle Paul in when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished my course. And because of that, there is a crown that awaits me. Folks, let's all strive toward that crown. Let's all strive to have that hope of eternal life fulfilled in eternity. Let's strive to sit here on Judgment Day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. And that we see each and every one of us here tonight there. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, there's a crown that awaits you. Again, it's not something you're literally going to put on your head, but it's a spiritual crown. You become part of royalty by being a Christian. And you want to do that tonight? You won't find a better time than right now. If you're a child of God and you've kind of strayed away and maybe that crown's gotten a little tarnished, and it can do that, what a great time to put a shine on it tonight. Come back to God on His terms. If you need to respond to the invitation, please, won't you do that as we stand and sing this song?